Hi, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Pocket of Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to live a more happily minded life. Positively minded life. No matter how rough the going is, things get rough at times, friends. And somehow we get through it. In fact, there is something about the roughness that's worthy of question.
Yeah, actually, I've been working with Armand for probably over 2 years now, and I watch him deal with people that have a lot of pain in their lives. And I found this article, actually, that he wrote quite a while back called Pain Addiction, and it's all about how emotional pain can become an addiction, a negative feeling such as anger, worry, grief, fear, or depression can become so habitual that you can't live without it. And there's physical as well as mental reasons for emotional pain addiction. And there's also something about shared pain. And shared pain is this idea that pain can be shared between a group of people and sort of lead to something else. And we found this study called Pain as a Social Glue, in which shared pain actually increases cooperation.
Yeah, it also led to more trusting interpersonal relationships between the people who were sharing that specific pain. It also increased their cooperation.
Wait. What are we speaking about? Shared pain.
Well, the study that Julian mentioned was done where they had certain groups, test groups, undergo a similar painful experience. So in one case, a bunch of people had to hold their hands in ice water. In another case, people did a lot of leg squats.
Right, and there's another experiment where they induced pain by asking participants to eat a hot chili pepper. And so the participants performed these tasks in small groups, and there was a causal link that sharing painful experiences with other people compared to a no-pain control treatment promoted trusting interpersonal relationships with bonding between these strangers.
Mm. So we're back to the mushrooms. This is, in other words, there is a connection, could be a connection through shared pain, like the tendrils. It's like you could have, well, let's think about it, WBAI.
With shared pain.
Shared pain, Pacifica Radio, right?
Yeah, it sort of runs on bonding together between the people with adversity on the other side, yeah.
People fighting oppression.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was watching Martin Luther King last night, you know, the movie, Selma.
You went to the movie and saw that?
Selma. And at the movie, the depth of the shared pain and what that was like. And what does it take to be black in America? It's a shared pain. Now, let's move that on. Is there some attraction to anything that represents the pain of anything? For example, homosexuality, the shared pain. Individuality, the shared pain. When people gather in a group, and they gather in a group and share a common pain, does it empower them? That's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, I'm going to be talking about today your need to have power as a result of finding the appropriate pain. In fact, love itself. Isn't that the perfect setup?
For shared pain?
For shared pain, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Me and you, the partner, shared pain. Now, I love you, but my wife's at home, a third shared pain. Now, the kids are watching, fourth shared pain. Right now, the entire house is unhappy, five shared pains, six shared pains. And the shared pain of growing up in an unhappy home, right? And this is the way it is. This is the, now one wonders. It almost makes you feel like you're playing a team sport. Wonder why certain people are attracted to certain teams that are always underdogs. You know anything about that? Ben.
I definitely
know
about
that. His
name
is, by the way, Ben Starr. He used to be here on Tuesdays at WBAI. He's only here on Wednesdays nowadays because he wanted just a little less pain because he was getting paid to do something on Tuesdays. When he gets his pain back, when he gets his stroke back, he'll be back on Tuesdays.
I look forward to it, too.
Of course you do.
But yeah, Armand, to answer your question, I know all about the pain of a losing sports team. And there are many, plenty to choose from right here in New York. But that to me is more than just the sporting aspect of it.
There are many to choose from.
Maybe? Sure.
I mean,
sure.
There's like six.
Every.
Many?
The only team that made the playoffs last year were the Rangers.
Okay.
Everyone else had a bad year.
Okay, but it's not many.
Well, there's New York has many sports teams. We have more than any other city.
And all of our teams lose.
At least in right now, all the New York teams are kind of having a losing streak, if you will.
And they're having a losing streak, therefore their partners. Now listen, there are two ways to take pain. One pain is your team loses a football game. You walk out, you know, you've gone to the Eagles Stadium with the Giants. And you walk away once again, as I have many times, and you get another miserable experience, right?
Yep. Another disappointment.
But imagine what it's like in real football to have that moment.
That moment where you lose as a team and you share that.
The whole thing.
Yeah, you share the crushing.
The World Cup.
Absolutely.
What was that moment like?
In Brazil.
Was that shared pain?
Well, sure.
I was actually downtown at Stone Street, which is a street of restaurants on cobblestone. There's about 300 people down there over near the river on the downtown east side.
That's why it's called Stone Street?
Stone Street's all cobblestone.
I never thought of what was underneath it. I know the street. And I've always seen people sitting around it. And it's,
yeah. It's right there. And I was there, and I'm with a couple hundred people. And there was people from Germany, and there were people from Brazil, obviously. And they were watching the game, and you could watch the collective pain just grow on the people's faces that were supporting Brazil. And you saw them put a hand around the other one, and you saw them crying. And it was amazing to watch all of this happening right next to me. And it was a shared pain experience for sure.
Yeah. A whole nation sharing pain.
Yeah.
But you know, they were all numb. It was dead. It wasn't like really crying.
There were a lot of tears on TV.
I know. But I mean, it wasn't real. To me, I would expect it to be like root canal without an injection, you know?
Oh, God.
That's what I would expect it would feel like, you know? But it was like there's a shock. There's one way of feeling pain, which is the shock and awe kind of pain that makes you not feel anything. So now you're in a group of people or you're in a relationship that's numb. And that's the shared pain. That's one form.
Where does the numbness come from?
I'll bet that's a way that the body adjusts itself. I bet it's endorphins. You get flooded with endorphins. You know, the pain comes, it comes so quick. You get blindsided, boom. And you get just numbed out at that moment.
I think definitely some people are using some substances to alleviate that pain.
Yes, and so that's one. Now, another way to have a shared pain, let's just look at funerals. Right? I come from a Sicilian family. There is nobody who grieves deeper than Sicilians that I know of. They wail, and they wail, and they wail, and they scream, and they wail to such a point that they are sharing the tears and the elbows and the sweat, and they are joining in that pain. Whereas I've been to Irish weddings where people get drunk, and they don't wail.
Weddings or funerals?
Funerals, I'm sorry. Funerals.
Yeah, it's interesting also talking about cultural funerals and differences. In Asian culture, a lot of the time, there's a lot of focus on not showing that. And instead, they share the pain by hiding it together.
And so there's a brethren.
There's a brethren. It's like, let's stay strong during this. Let's keep moving forward and let's not... Well, it's very opposite to the Sicilian
shared pain,
but it's still a shared pain.
Stoic
sure.
pain,
yeah.
So, what do we get from shared pain? What do we get? What do we get is, if you're in a gymnasium, what do you get from shared pain of weightlifting?
Well, I mean, me and Ben were just talking. We're both, we've got partners in weightlifting, and there's something about being there and going against something together with someone else. It definitely brings you closer, and it gives you kind of like almost a purpose, it felt like, for me.
Sure. Even sometimes, you know, weightlifting is called resistance training.
Right.
So you're resisting together, mm-hmm. and then the next day you're talking to your partner, hey, how are you feeling after yesterday? Oh, I'm hurting. I'm sore. Me too. And then you laugh about that, and you bond over that. And that's what I think the shared pain does, is it brings us closer because we have a common sort of whole that's there.
Well, what if shared pain is the only form of bonding that you know? 212-957-2729. 212-957-2729. What if the only form of bonding, the only form of connection, the only form of love that you know is around shared pain?
I think that's a very interesting point that you make. And I wonder if there are people out there who choose pain consciously or unconsciously, but they're choosing a situation that's painful, or they're choosing to stay in a certain pain instead of moving on from it because that's the only thing they know. What do you think about that?
You know, it makes sense because, and not only the only thing they know, it may feel the best.
Right.
Sadomasochism, you know, power exchange feels dynamic. It's strong. It could be felt. You don't feel dead. Whereas the more benign, polite, you know, that stuff doesn't feel anywhere nearly as powerful for many people. So it may be that it's a preference, and a preference because it feels so much, because you want to feel something. In fact, you know, having a dynamic relationships that are painful relationships for years after years, as many people do, when you finally meet someone nice and you have a nice relationship, it's very quiet. Not very appealing. Have you had those kind of things, Ben?
Yeah, and I've been on both sides of that. I've been the one who was not used to a nice, polite situation, and I've been the one who was offering that to someone who wasn't used to that. And many times I think the instinct is to push it away and to sort of rebel against it.
It could be boring. I think about you, Julian.
Well,
are you bored with your mate?
Not at the moment.
He's listening right now.
I have found myself in relationships where they get stagnant, and it sort of does turn into this nice appealing each other. No pain there. There's no. It's just sort of easy and too easy almost.
No arguing at all, I think, is not good for a relationship. I don't think
for you in a relationship.
For me, I mean, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm arguing all the time. But for me, when there's absolutely no conflict, when there's absolutely no disagreement, there's no arguing, in my opinion, that's a sign of someone or both people are suppressing things just to get along. And that's not good.
Right.
I think that's unhealthy.
I love the fact that you're young enough to still be critical and judge people. It's not good, is it? No. It's a bad
thing.
For me. It's a bad thing that people do that. Imagine being two people who get along so well that they don't argue anymore. Imagine such a thing. It must be deadly. No, you must have some pain or there's something wrong with you. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joel and Ben Starr. I tricked them into judgment. And we have Seth on the phone. Hi, Seth. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Armand. How are we doing?
Good afternoon. We're doing great. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. In response to what I just heard, is it possible to have a harmonious relationship that doesn't? You can have forms of contention.
What is wrong with... Wait, hold on a second. Julian, what's wrong with Seth's phone? What's going on? Seth, I can barely hear you.
We're getting a little echo.
Was I on speaker? Is that okay now?
Is that better? There you are.
That sounds better, yeah.
Yeah, so I was asking, would it be possible, since I heard you say one time, at the root of conflict is contempt. So if I were to work out the issues that I'm personally dealing with, would it be possible to engage in a relationship without involving that in every issue of contention?
Wow, Seth, I just realized who you are.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, of course it's possible.
All right. That's good to know, because in my journey towards getting rid of, or rather working through, some of my personal issues, I have avoided certain...
Yes, what have you avoided specifically? What are you avoiding in relationships?
Well, maybe you can say intimacy or a place where...
Right, what are you afraid of?
That's a good question. I think you could answer that better than I could.
Probably could, but what do you think? What's the last time you've been close?
Codependency, probably.
And you've depended on a woman?
More dependent on, I guess you could say, the approval, or...
I'm not finding the right words, but...
I think
you get worried about it. You get worried about getting approval and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, the judgment, and then what potentially could lead to disappointment because of miscommunication, or rather misunderstanding.
Gotcha. Now, that could happen and could not happen the next time around. So when are you going to let somebody else in there for you?
That's also a good question. I'm not planning anything, so I think it leaves more of a timing situation to come forward. And if or when the next person could potentially engage in a relationship with me, I think I'm almost there.
Well, terrific, Seth. I'm really glad you've made a lot of progress in your life.
You've been very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, have a great day.
Thank you. 212-957-2729. So pain as a social glue, pain itself. Now, what happens as you're marching to Selma? Do you have a connection that you could find anywhere else in the world? Is there any way, when we marched to Washington, when I was on the down on the front lines fighting, against the hard hats, in these union movements, in these things that we've done where we've bonded together here at BAI, has there ever been a closer bond as when you're fighting with somebody against something? Now, if that's what makes for the feeling of bond, if that's what makes it, does that mean we have to produce it in order to have it? If family and the connection to family is having a common stressor, do we have to produce the stressor in order to have the feeling of family? Think about AA, right? AA, you get a group of people together who are fighting a common thing. I'm an alcoholic. And we're in it together, and we'll talk about our struggle. And we're in it together. And with that, we bond. And with that, in AA, you bond as a family. You pick up a family member. You have a brother. You have a sister. You have somebody who's with you. And this takes the need of having to fill that spot with an empty bottle.
It's like they're all soldiers in a war against alcohol.
That's right. But, part of the thing that's inviting is the alcohol itself is your is another soldier.
It's just the soldier on the other side.
Yeah, it's like a common enemy. It's family.
Yeah.
No, but it's not an enemy. It's family. See, the liquor invites you. The liquor is a brother. It's a sister. It's pain. It says, come join with me. If you think about the intensity of alcohol, the burn of it, the whole thing, it says, I'll do this with you. So that's one level of it. Instead, people say, okay, you don't do the alcohol, you could have me instead. And that becomes your substitute. None of it is bad. It's just using those kind of a pain as the basis of how you get by. Pain makes you feel power. You know, if you feel yourself stubbing your toes, if you feel yourself fighting against something, it makes you feel strong.
So is it possible to feel pain or family without, I mean, to feel power without the pain?
That's your question, huh? Great question, Julian. Is it at all, if you're used to a life of pain, is it possible to be satisfied with a life absent of pain? And for many people, I've found they're addicted to pain, and they have no choice. So when they come to see me, and therefore they could read the article is available online. You'll find it on my website under Poetry and Meanderings. There's a section called Poetry. It's called, the name of the article is...
Pain Addiction.
Pain Addiction. You can read about it in detail. Quite remarkable stuff, because I don't know if you can get away from it once you're used to it. If that's what life is like, life is about pain, how do you get by without it? Osui, we have Osui on the line.
I get up and...
Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the line.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I've been in a personal, I guess, journey in finding my own self-divinity. And I've been driving, and I heard your station. I thought this was a very, very, very interesting topic. You know, for the past 2 years, I've been trying to, you know, find, like, a self-realization. But then last year, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And thankfully, she fought through it, and she's cured. She got chemo. She finished her treatments. But I noticed that was an immense pain that I've never felt before. It filled my body. It filled my soul. It filled my whole, you know, demeanor was off. But after growing from that, I feel like my journey has now started. So, in my opinion, I don't think pain is necessary to establish family and power. But I will admit that if my mother was never diagnosed, she was never, you never had to fight through this journey, I would not be at the level of my journey where I am now.
Wow, it's quite a trip you've taken.
Yes, sir.
So who do you have in your life that you could love without pain?
That I can love without?
Without pain, yes.
Myself.
Okay, and is there anybody else you're going to let in the door?
I think when I'm done with my self-realization, I can do so.
What do you mean when you're done with your... I'm sorry, I can't hear you because the phone breaks out. When you're done with your what?
With my self-realization.
I just can't get the word. Religion?
Realization. Realization.
What realization do you need so that you could finally reach to a point where you could let another human in your life who is without pain and could just share a life with you? Where do you have to go? What do you have to find?
I have to go to environments where I'm just at. I have to go to places where I can fully...
I can't understand. I'm sorry. Could you take off the speakerphone for a moment?
Sure. Hello?
Yes, now say it.
Yeah, I was saying I have to go to a place where I can display my talents.
Explain your challenge.
No, display my talent.
Okay, now what talent do you need to display? Tell me what you can display. What talent do you have?
My music.
And what part of your music? Well, tell me what kind of music you make.
I make jazz. I make music to express myself.
And what kind of jazz do you like to play?
Latin jazz.
Latin jazz. So you're a Latin jazz artist. You're a dancer as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought so. Yes, so you're a dancer. And you like to express yourself in dance as well as in music?
Yes.
And you get close by dancing. Now, by dancing, do you dance with people?
Yeah, I do.
Do you love salsa?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now when you get into salsa and you get deeply into salsa with someone, and it's that romantic kind of intense salsa, Isn't it exquisite when you get to the point where the dance is so intense that it's almost painful?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. That exquisite feeling, that connection, that touch, that where it's almost painful, where you could practically kiss but not kiss, right. Hold but not hold, squeeze but not squeeze, release but not release. That's the stuff. Now that's the stuff for you. That's a beautiful stuff.
Right.
You want to try to find that in some kind of relationship that doesn't have that intensity, which is very difficult to do. Because once you know what you know now about the intensity of your music, your dance, your connection, it's very hard to find something more subtle,
yep.
Lighter. And that's going to take a bit of doing. And probably the place it's going to take place is not on the dance floor. It's probably going to take place somewhere where you could sit down and maybe speak with someone.
Right.
That's a whole different venue, whole different world. Oh, Sue, you've been through a hell of a lot with your mother. You've been through a lot of pain. You've been through a lot of difficulty. You've learned the joy of dance and the joy of music. Your next step, how old are you now, 24?
21.
21. Your next step is going to be at age 24. It's going to be huge. You're going to be stepping into a whole different world. You know, sound like a brave man. And thank you very much for calling in.
No, thank you.
Sure. Be sure to stay with us. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Oh, Suey, you know, when you get into that. Now, you've been a dancer.
I wouldn't say I'm a dancer. I have danced.
Yeah, and you know that point? There's a point that you move.
When the band is just cooking.
When... Well, you know, that's a good expression. The band is cooking, and you're being cooked. So now it's all happening. You're being cooked. You're in the vial.
You're like being flash fried almost.
Yes, that's right. If I would say broiled.
Right.
Broiled. And it's like you're getting up to that pitch, and you're up to that place, and you try to decide, oh, there must be a place where we talk. I don't know, Gabby, if you're listening, you're going to have to explain it to me. Let's take Kat, who's on the phone. Kat, this is Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Julian.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. I'm streaming in from California, so I feel like I've missed some pockets of the show, but it's a subject that I've been thinking about a lot. And I have a friend who has a son who just turned 4. And really beautiful connection with this little man, and even to the point where when he was born, she asked him to come to her in a dream and give her a week's notice, and sure enough, a week after that dream, he was born. And anyway, she's been watching him and notices that every year around his birthday, he sort of relives his birth. And this year it was in the bathtub, and he couldn't get out, and then she had to help him get out, and then he snuggled with her, and, you know, she just was observing him kind of relive this trauma. And so it kind of light bulb up in my own head about the pain and the things like the trauma, and thinking about my journey through, you know, even just in utero and like in early life, and these traumas that I've had and heartbreaks in my life that I keep recreating in different ways to relive this pain, you know. And I've been sort of watching it unfold in different relationships that might, you know, be, oh, well, that's something that triggers something with my father, that triggers something from my family, and like just these kind of echoes from this original.
And you see these things, you see these sources, huh?
Pardon?
You see these sources. Let me ask you one quick question.
Interesting. Pardon?
Kat, why are you streaming to California from California? What are you doing?
Actually, Ben and I had some shared. Hey, Benjamin. Ben and I go way back, and he introduced me to this radio show, and I've been
say hello, Ben.
Hey, Kat.
Pardon?
Hey, Ben knows Kat.
Yeah, I do.
Ben knows. So let me ask you something, Kat. Have you and Ben had eat?
Oh, we were part of some shared pain back in our early adulthood, and he's been a big player and setting a lot of patterns in my life. And it's been interesting to see these themes come around at different times, and these places where we were vulnerable, and how if there's unsettled resolution, that it seems I've noticed how things continue to come up until I can.
Well, that's really wonderful that we could have that shared here on the air on WBAI. Listen, though, we do have to take a short break, Kat, and when we come back, we will continue with this.
Cool.
Stay by, Kat.
That was Bonga with Venda Poro. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York. Here in the studio with Armand DeMille, Julian Joiello. I'm Ben Starr, and today we're talking about shared pain and pain experiences.
Yeah, and we've got Kat on the line. Kat, listen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Give me a moment of your time, okay? So, since I have these three honest people, you, Julian, Ben, here in the studio with me, and who are willing usually to speak about most stuff that people may be reluctant to expose because, you know, it's tender stuff. What would you say was the most painful part of your relationship with Ben that you had, the greatest difficulty that you had inside you, your internal struggle, not what was wrong with him? What was your internal struggle?
I mean, something that I've been noticing in myself with Ben, I think a struggle with my own pride. And it was like in life, like if I feel like I've been wronged or something has happened and I need recognition, or and I feel like that I can pinpoint that down to maybe pride, like ego pride of, I think that would probably be my biggest.
It doesn't say much to me.
I got hurt, and I blamed it on him, and I held it over his head forever. You know?
Okay, so there was a pain that you got attached to. Something yes. bothered you. You know, did he go out with somebody else?
Yeah.
Now, see, I could tell everything. So he goes out with somebody else, and you find out, and then the two of you are trying to work this out over a period of time, and you are holding it, and you're holding it, and you're holding it. You're not walking away like you could. You're not letting it go like you could. But you're hanging in there, and this pain persists, and you don't get over it, right? And you're probably in your early 20s.
Yeah. And maybe it's abandonment, honestly, like, because that, this feeling of being abandoned and not, and that powerlessness and that.
Another form of pain. See, good. Abandonment is another form of pain that people kind of attach to. Mm-hmm. Right? Were you abandoned as a kid? Did you have no father?
Yeah. And my dad, wasn't really around, and I hear now more stories about how he just wasn't there for my mom when she was pregnant, and she wasn't there, you know, and she left him when I was maybe one, and I think that has been a scenario that I've replayed in my life over and over, and the farther upstream I go, I feel like that's the thing.
Well, beauty of it is that you get a chance to see that that's one of the things you're fighting with. That you're going to reproduce that and reproduce it and reproduce it until you get over it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, I guess, what I was sharing about my friend and her son and just how I see all of us attracting who we can share pain with to connect on this really pure level. And ultimately, I think it's, you know, there's an opportunity to heal that pain. Like my mom always says, water seeks its own level, you know, and so we somehow vibrationally, I think, attract these people in our lives that have these. I mean, granted, it's one thing when you share an experience like a loss together in the same place, but I found in my life, like I just moved into a new house and I learned more about my roommates and I realized how much of shared history we have, and it might be completely different experiences, but that essence is the same, and we can, you know, maybe heal those parts of ourselves together and move forward.
Wow, what a lucky person you are. How fortunate, number one, that you exist and that you're as conscious as you are, Kat. I love it. And how courageous of you to be able to call in and talk to us about it. Let's see on Ben's side. Ben, what do we got on your side of us?
Well, it's great to hear from Kat. You know, I have nothing but fond memories of our time that we spent together.
Yeah.
We were young college kids and very much in love, and it was very nice. It was very...
You know, the only thing you've missed in this conversation so far is the word you. So could you throw that word in there, Ben?
Kat, it's wonderful to hear from you, and I I'm glad that you could be a part of the Positive Mind today. And it's you know, we do get the chance to catch up once in a while, but we haven't spoken in a while, so it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you. I've been really enjoying this program. I've been listening, and it's been really synchronistic. Some of the archives I've gone through, and this is just, and Armand, I just appreciate your essence so much, and Julian and Benjamin, I feel like you both contribute in such a beautiful way, and especially as a woman, hearing all of these male perspectives that are gentle and open, and that's something that I really appreciate, to hear like this other perspective from, not that we're all people, but I feel like as women we do it a lot, and it's nice to hear some men get into this stuff and unfold it, so I thank you for your work.
Thanks, Kat. This is Julian, and thanks for calling in and talking to us about that. I appreciate that.
Cool. I'm
glad to be a part of this trio we've got here. And it's great hearing about Ben.
Any more details on Ben, which I am sure are out there in the world?
He's a beautiful, beautiful man. If anyone has the opportunity to meet him, you're a lucky person.
All right, you can forward that email to julian@thepositivemind.com. You'll get it to Ben. Hey, listen, thank you so much for calling in, Kat.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Kat.
Have a great day, y'all.
Thanks, right. Kat. Bye-bye.
Bye.
212-957-2729. You often wonder in fear of what would ever get unfolded. You know, should somebody get on there and say, oh, I knew you when. Well, they knew you when. You know, they knew you in. You are who you are. You're not hiding as much. You don't have to hide much.
Do you ever have anyone call that knew you in?
Sure, many. Many, many. Many. I've got a lot of people from the past have called. And it's almost each time, it's, oh, yes, I remember that time. Oh, sure, sure. That's, yes, I could experience that. 212-957-2729. So if we live in shared pain, there's an assumption that you live in shared beauty and that life should be good, that you should be able to pick for yourself an ideal, which would be like walking in a meadow with somebody, and you say, this is love. Love is we walk hand in hand by the meadow, right, under the twinkling trees, and there's nothing to worry about. And this is beautiful. Oh, that's what love is. And we sit on clouds, right? And we take it easy, and everything is nice. Or we say, but wait a minute, that could be boring. You know, would we rather go where the water rumbles? Would we rather go to the waterfall? Would we like to find an excitement? Which is generally what you tend to do. So it generally seems that we're looking for some form of excitement because the body is filled with a thing called excitatory potential. It wants to feel growth. It does not want to feel just placid. It doesn't want to feel quiet. It wants to feel excited. Let's take another call. Diane, you're on the line.
Hi, Armand.
Hi, Diane.
I wanted to talk to you because I've been in therapy for a couple of years and have really made really great strides. And I think that I might have, in relationships anyway, thought that relationships were supposed to feel bad because my family growing up was very, very difficult. And I had a lot of relationships that I stayed in long after people had crossed boundaries with me and hurt me. And I would stay in them. I'd say, well, but I love that person. And anyway, so I feel like I've gotten past that. But I recently started a relationship with someone who really pursued the relationship with me. I just wanted to date different people and kind of get my bearings, and he really pursued me. And
how did you like that? How did you like the pursuit, Diane?
I think that usually I'm very touched when I think that somebody might be hurting because of me. It's kind of I think I like to rescue people a little bit.
So he pursued you, but you pursued him?
No, he pursued me.
But you were rescuing him.
Because he seemed to want to be with me so much. And I thought it would be good for me to be with somebody who really wanted to be with me that
I
much,
see.
Who was
so
really
you,
choosing me.
So you sensed a desperation, and you felt bad about the desperation, and in that desperation you wanted to take care of him. That's what
I
you
think
did.
So.
Yeah, okay. That'll attract you.
I heard
you
saying
you.
That pity is at the heart of a woman's love.
Is it? Okay.
But anyway, recently he started to pull away. We've been seeing each other for 5 months. And he revealed to me that he gets anxious. He gets filled with anxiety in relationships. And that in the past, he had relationships that weren't that good. And this one seemed to be going very well. But we had stopped getting closer because he was pulling back a bit. And, you know, I want to support him and be there for him while he works at his anxiety, but his anxiety makes him think that he's not sure whether he should be in the relationship or not. And I don't want to be like a yo-yo where he pushes me away and pulls me back and pushes me away. I don't want to be in that kind of pain anymore. And I'm not sure how to proceed.
Oh, Diane, it's so tough.
He really wants to be with me, but he was having these anxiety issues.
I know.
Working on them.
I know. Wait a minute now. Stay with me. Mm-hmm. Diane, you're an innocent. You're a novice. You're a child. You're beautiful in this. It is so hard at the beginning to figure it out. They're words. The words say something, the words say something, the words say something. They try to get you to get caught in the words, you know. And once you find the right words, you catch each other in these words. They're all about stories. None of it is real. The best you could do is take it for now. Not for the future, not for the past, not for undoing. It's all about just words. Whatever he says doesn't matter. Whatever he shows doesn't matter. What matters is that you could coexist calmly, beautifully, terrifically. If you could do that for as long a period of time as you could do it, or for as short a period of time, that's wonderful. Then the next time, you'll do it again. Maybe with someone new, maybe with someone different. But it's never going to be all perfect in one spot. And this is not the spot that counts. You're learning.
I'm not sure I'm understanding when you say, I mean, I don't want to be... when you say this is not the spot that counts, you mean with this person because they're having anxiety issues? Or,
no, because...
I mean, I tried
because,
to tell them, let's just take things one day at a
exactly
time.
Exactly
that. Be with me.
It's exactly that.
Don't worry about it working out forever.
And
you know?
He may be more anxious than that, but you have the answer. You want to be with me, be with me. You don't want to be with me, don't be with me. Don't get anxious, don't get nervous, don't get this. But he's going to be because that's part of where his craziness is. And craziness, I mean, that's where his nervousness is. So he could have that.
Is there anything I can do to help him be less anxious?
No, absolutely not.
He's going to a therapist.
It's not your job.
I don't know if it's something he's going to work out eventually.
It's not your job. You'll have to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make good soup?
Soup?
Yes.
Not really, but I make other things.
What do you make?
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice?
Mm-hmm. Arroz con pollo.
Arroz con pollo, all right. Do you make a spectacular arroz con pollo?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's just all right.
I make
music. You don't really like your cooking all that much.
He's not a foodie.
He's not a foodie is not my question. Do you like your cooking?
Do I like my cooking?
Yes.
I used to be a good cook. I don't cook much anymore.
All right, so now I'm going into this area with you on purpose, Diane. Okay. What stopped you from cooking as well as you could cook for yourself?
Well, that's a very good point. I think a lot of people don't like to cook for themselves. They think it's
I'm not talking about a lot of people. I'm talking about Diane, who used to love herself by treating herself to a delicate taste of her own food.
Yeah, I used to do it
and who stopped doing
people.
It.
I didn't do it for myself. I think, yeah, I do have a tendency to not take care of myself as well as I'd like to take care of
All right,
of
so
other
Diane,
people.
If we have, just since we only have a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
could you make me some arroz con pollo?
Sure.
Would you make me a little bit and somehow get it dropped off at my desk? I don't care if it's in a plastic container. And at the same time, would you make some for yourself? And on the day that you drop it off, will you have it yourself for dinner, as if you're having dinner with me?
Okay.
And I will report on it the next day.
Okay.
Now listen to me.
Is this a trick to get me to take better care of myself?
No, it's not a trick. It's something I want. It's greedy. On my
what?
Part, it's on my part, it's greedy. And it doesn't have to be spectacular. It could be just the way that you make it exactly.
Okay.
Just the way you make it for you. Because I do want you to start seeing Diane as the person who's valuable here.
Yeah, that's what I've been working
it's,
on.
It's a child who needs to be fed. She needs to be fed by a mother who loves her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're that
one. May I add that this person is the first person I've been in a relationship with who really took great care of me, really cared about me, helped me, has done a lot of things to help me care for myself.
That's great. And that's great. Well, listen, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Armand. I love you.
I'm going to be waiting.
I think you should have courses in... in high school. Kids should.
They have them. All you got to do is go through the internet. Go through the internet. You'll find through my website. You'll get the archives, and people do play them in high schools.
Good.
It's being played all over the world. People listen. This stuff gets around.
Well, I wish I had this when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. And you do have it now.
I do. Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Like, you know, Diane says something very important. I wish I had this when I was a kid. I think that's the story, Ben. I think that's the story for everybody.
Just thinking back to how much more aware we could have been with just the right tools to help us.
Yeah, I wish we could have had it as a kid. And part of what happens is you grow up and you finally find a way to get it.
And a lot of times that comes through experience.
That's right. You have to create your own, make your own.
I've watched
the two of you create your lives in a way that is so much better than you had in childhood.
This show is a little bit like a taste of experience every day.
Absolutely. I mean, we get to hear from so many people who call in and share their experiences with us.
Yeah. And how they're growing as well. 212-957-2729. You got about three more minutes. You know, it's a beautiful thing to have access to shared pain as a way of growing. And I have a way of accessing people's pain because I could see it. I don't have to take it on. But I see it and I could feel it. And by feeling it, I could walk on those very same hot coals that they walk on. And you get a chance. We're going to be back with you. We're still back next week, right? And then we're going to go into the fun drive.
Yeah, the fun drive starts in February.
In February. So we've got a couple of weeks here, which we'll be pulling up subjects. Now, if you have subjects that you would like to present to us and you would like us to hear as well, please feel free to just, you know, send it to us by email, armand@thepositivemind.com.
Or on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter would be great, too. Our Twitter handle is A-R-M-A-N-D, Armand, DeMille, D-I-M-E-L-E. And that's on Twitter, and just send us a reply or retweet and let us know you're there and send us a subject that you're interested in. Make sure to go to thepositivemind.com for the archives, which is actually going to be having a revamp pretty soon.
We'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Here's a little extra music for you today.
To remember.